Philippians chapter 4, read verse 4 down through verse 13. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's my subject. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Without Christ, than anything I can do. I learned a long time ago and continue to learn that I need Christ every minute of my life, every moment. You get to where that you sort of, fleshly reasons, that you sort of push the Lord aside. Doesn't mean that you lose Him or anything. Doesn't mean that. Push Him aside and you get real self-sufficient, and so the Lord knows exactly how to ring your bell. Knows how to get your attention. He does me every time. And you know, I hear people lots of times in the work of the Lord often say, "Well, I can't do that." Well, it all depends on what you're talking about. I believe in the context of what He's saying here in the Word of God, and we have to keep it in the context of the Word of God, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, there was, of course, an Old Testament example in Moses. In the third and fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, and you know when the Word of the Lord came and spoke unto Moses, and then Moses began to offer a lot of excuses. First said, "I'm not eloquent." The Lord had to remind him and say, "Now, Moses, now who was it that made your mouth?" And we have to be reminded that it was God that made her mouth. And sometimes that He also made her feet, and He made her hands, and He made her ears, and He made her eyes. God didn't make no mistake in what He was doing. And He made them for the very purpose that He could use us for His honor and glory, and that we could do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. In essence, Moses said, "I can't." And God told him, "You can." He told him that. But in essence, what He said, "I'm going to do it through you." And He started off with, and I say this every time because it's true, it's right there. He started off with giving him a mouthpiece, Aaron. And Moses one day found out he could talk. And he talked to the Lord, and he talked to the people. You know, he'd say, "You stiff-necked." he was worse than a Baptist preacher, you know, rebels, uncircumcised, and all that he would say. In other words, he found out he could talk, but God revealed it to him. Now,
Paul didn't say, I can do all things through myself. And we got to remember that. My life has been one whole experience of learning that I'm dependent upon the Lord more than I am upon myself. My life has been one long experience. And perhaps you're going through the same thing, and almost relentlessly, I start out the same way every time. You'd think I'd finally learn. And you'd think that we would finally learn that there are things that God gives us the ability to do and the grace to do, but there's some things that we cannot do of ourselves. And you've got to remember the context of this Scripture here. The all things is misused and it is abused. Many times the all things does not mean that which is contrary to the Word of God. I'm appalled that people are always talking about that the Lord is leading them and giving them the strength to do something. It's contrary to the Word of God. It ain't so. I believe I know it, you know it, and I think they know it. Other than the deception that they're in. So we find it means whatsoever the Lord commands for our life and for us as a person. And it also makes it very clear and says through Christ. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing about it, we ain't going to get through that surgery tomorrow without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way. And I believe that we fully understand and we fully recognize that. And the thing that has us suspended is, what is God's will? That's the thing that has us suspended. It's not that we question God, or it's not that we doubt God, but the thing is, what is God's will? That is the thing. And that's why there is anxiety upon us as human beings, as just mere creatures of this flesh. God has provided the means whereby we can know the things that we ought to do. And He's also provided the means where that we not only can know the things that we ought to do, but we can do them. Now, isn't that wonderful? You cannot improve on that. Not only does He reveal to us and tell us what we ought to do, but then He gives us the strength and the ability to carry out what He would have us to do. When we fail to do the things that the Lord commands, the cause is either unbelief or it is rebellion. That is the cause. Hebrews chapter 3, notice with me in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews. There are sometimes we just really don't believe. Now we talk about trusting the Lord and talk about believing the Lord and depending upon the Lord, but there's sometimes we just don't really do that. Now, isn't that true? It's true in my life, and it's true in your life. And Hebrews chapter 3, and look with me in verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now look, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Who's he talking to? Brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's telling us to take heed. I tell you, you go shipwrecked when you don't trust the Lord. You can be saved by the grace of God and going through a lot of things, but if you don't trust the Lord, you go shipwrecked. I brought this out this morning in Sunday school class. Anytime there's a loss or anything happens, there's two results. Either it's better or bitter. And I know who brings the better. But look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I tell you, the Lord knows how to touch our hearts, don't He? I tell you, one of the purposes of God in this little baby that He's brought into this, He's touched my heart. He's touched my heart. I don't know what God's will is for him, but I know what God's done for me. He has melted my heart. And this is the way that we need to, this is what we need to recognize, and this is what we need to see. When it happens, we need to be right there and recognize it's the hand of God and what God is doing. It is possible for the saved to be guilty of unbelief. I don't mean the unbelief. We're talking about the belief of saving of the soul. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about an unbelief of where we just don't trust the Lord. And we don't commit ourselves to Him. And we don't depend upon Him. And Lord, deliver me from a deceitful heart of unbelief. Now, I want us to just notice just a few things tonight. What are some of the things that we can do? These are such simple things. But they're things that we just don't take advantage of. Now, the first thing that I want us to think about that through Christ, and of course what He said here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you've got to remember that's behind of all these things that I'm going to say that we can do. The first thing that we can do is we can rejoice. People said, I just can't. No. It's not that you can't, it's you won't. Now, I don't care what the circumstances is. I don't care how dismal it looks. I don't care how bleak it is. I don't care whether it's you or whether it's me or whoever it is. The Word of God says that we can rejoice through Christ which strengtheneth us. And when we don't do that, we lose the victory. And we really not only manifest our spiritual maturity, but we manifest how little our God is. There is no way that we can, I believe, put into words how big that our God is that ruleth and reigneth. But even in times as this, we can rejoice. Look what He said in verse 4. Now look at this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Isn't it amazing how that your heart can be breaking and you can be shedding tears, and at the same time you're rejoicing in the Lord and His great power and His great wisdom and His great grace. And your heart is breaking, and at the same time you're rejoicing and thanking, Lord, I'm thankful that You're in control, and I'm thankful that You're the Lord of my life. I'm thankful that You're the Lord of my heart. That's what He's talking about. Even though your heart's breaking, you're seemingly, fleshly speaking, you're in despair, you're despondent, but yet we find the Holy Spirit will enable us to rejoice always. That is through Christ that strengthens us. We're not physically, we're not humanly built this way. It takes the spiritual man. It takes that man that's born again by the Spirit of God to be able to rejoice always. Because what we rejoice in is not the circumstances, but we rejoice in the One that has brought the circumstances and the One that is controlling the circumstances. And every time that I preach on this, the Lord plasters me. He does. And I tell you, through the years, my whole ministry has been from testing to testing. Preach it and get tested. Preach it and get tested. Preach it. See if you really believe it. My whole ministry has been. I'm not complaining about that. Rejoice. Rejoice. I recognize it's God does it. So, remember, sometimes people say, I can't rejoice. No, it's not that you can't. It's that you won't. Now, remember that. Because the Bible says, here, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And the one thing that He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so, regardless what the circumstances is, there's always can be a rejoicing in the Lord. In the things of God, in the mighty grace of God. But then, there's another thing that we can do. We can pray. Verse 6 says this. I've had people tell me, say, Brother Harvey, I can't pray. No, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but look at this. There's no way around this, all things and everything. There's no way around it. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. Notice, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, I don't know the little period there, but I want you to see that. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And I believe that one of the greatest needs and the greatest thing is to, in every situation, every circumstance, to be able to rejoice in the Lord. And in every situation and every circumstance, the first thing to do is don't think but pray. And if you can, by the grace of God, I try this. Lord, I want to thank you for this time. That ain't easy. But you cannot and you will not ever have victorious life as a Christian until you can be able to do that. Now you can do that through Christ. You cannot do it in yourself. You cannot. There's times that I'm so emotional and seemingly physically disoriented that I don't mean, crazy or anything, but so physically disoriented that I don't know what to say. That's when I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and direct me. And I know that even in a time like that, even though it's a tragedy of tragedies, I can still pray through Christ. We need to remember these things and these things. And I thought about, I tell you, these are the end times, these are the last days, and the Lord's bringing these things in our life, and He's breaking our hearts and tendering our hearts, and He's getting us ready, and He's preparing us, and He's mending us and molding us and shaping us like He wants to shape us for His honor and glory and for His praise, to where that we will lose our love for this old world. I'm going to begin to get homesick for heaven. The portals and the things and the joys that there really is. Because you go over and read where there'll be no death, no sorrow, no tears, no heartache. And that's going to be great. But we ain't there yet. And we're not there yet. So while we're here through Christ, we can rejoice and we can pray. If nothing else, just say, I love you, Lord. I tell you, you don't have to worry about Him hearing you and know your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's on your heart. We don't have a God like the God of Baal. Or we don't have a God that's set up somewhere, that's way off somewhere. We have a God like is mentioned in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Here's what He is.
And I'm glad. I need Him more today than I ever have. I don't mean that just for you, just to you thing. But I mean for His presence and power and His assurance. Look in the 4th chapter, verse 14. Down through the remainder of that chapter, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." How do we hold fast our profession? In rejoicing in the Lord always. In praying and through the Lord Jesus Christ and putting our dependence upon Him and crying out to Him, pouring our hearts out to Him. He knows not only what you say, you may not even have to say a thing. Sometimes people think praying is only by just words that you utter. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. It's just groaning by the Spirit of God. Look what He says. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Now He knows about today. He knows about tomorrow. He knows how we feel. I try to put myself in everybody's situation, but I don't always know how you feel. But He does. He says here, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And look at this now, in this thing of praying always, and we can. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace." I call it like this. What's wrong with us is we don't lay hold on God. They ain't really the praying now today. For tomorrow. We ought to be on our faces before Almighty God. Struck. The awesome of God. God's almighty will. Another thing. Isn't that sad? We have a high priest who's touched the feeling of our infirmities. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so He says, "Let us come therefore boldly under the throne of grace." Boldly to the throne of grace. We have access, and we can go to the very presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, "that we may obtain" what? "Mercy." Lord, we need mercy. We need Your mercy. We need Your goodness and mercy. And then He said, "and find." I thought I already had it, but this says here, and find grace to help in time of need. There's some times you need to find grace. You're saved with the grace of God. And there's different experiences in your life that you're going to have to find the grace of God. You have to go to the throne of God. That's where you're going to find it. We're at the throne of God. Boldly. Pray till you can't pray, and then pray more. Pray till you faint. Pray till you fall out. Pray till you pass out. I believe this is possible because this is what He says. This is what I've already said about that I can always rejoice and I can always pray is exactly what the Scripture has to say. And then there's another thing in this passage of Scripture He brings out that we can. And that is, we can learn to be content. Sometimes I'm just a nervous wreck. I'm what for? I'm saved. I've been spiritually baptized. I'm in the bride of Christ. The Lord is constantly with me in this life. But we get ourselves in situations to where that we do not just get along with the Lord.
and learn just to spend some time with the Lord. And he says here in this, look in verse 11 here of Philippians chapter 4. Look what he says. In verse 11 of this fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, notice the Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." He said, "I'm not really asking you for something, or I don't really want something." And he mentioned that verse before. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye lacked, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." I think that attitude of a lot of people today. That's not the attitude. And he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." Now, who taught him? How did he learn this? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You'll never learn of yourself to be content. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the promises of God and through the Word of God. "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." If we're sick, if we're healthy, if we're hungry, if we're full, if we're poor, if we're rich, we can in all of these situations be content through the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that, you won't be. And I will not be, and we will not. We will not be content. And so I believe that these are some basic things that the Apostle Paul brings out here in this passage of Scripture when he's talking about, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I've got a lot of others down here. I can witness. People say, "I can't witness." No, it's not that you can't. It's that you won't. You know why I know that you can witness? It's because he said in Acts 1:8, "And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." That's the reason I know that you can witness. And there ain't a person alive here tonight that's saved with the grace of God that cannot witness. And you can witness with both your lip and with your life. You don't have to have some routine or some form that you go through. Just tell people about being saved. How God saved you by His marvelous grace. One of the greatest testimonies ever could be told was that you're saved. You've been saved with the grace of God. That's one of the greatest witnesses that's ever, that you have recorded in the Word of God. And then there's another thing I know that through Christ we can do. We can live godly, separated lives. People say, "I can't." I've had people say, "Brother Harvey, you just don't know how hard it is for me. It's just as hard for me. It's just as hard for every one of us. I don't care whether we're a young person, whether we're a teenager, whether we're an adult. I don't care whether we're a man or whether we're a woman. I don't care whether we're a boy or whether we're a child. It is just as equally hard for every one of us to live a godly, separated life. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You can't do it of yourself. And when you start out, you're going to make a sad failure. You're going to fly. You can do it through Christ. The strength of Christ. I thought about Paul when he wrote to Titus, and he said, and I believe that he brought this out in this Titus chapter 2, and look with me in verse 11 there, down through verse 12, and he said this in verse 11. Now here's the reason we can. Now look at this in this light of this Scripture. Verse 11, Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Now notice, it appeared to all men, but then he says, "Teaching us." Appeared to all men, but it's teaching us something. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And he goes on. And that's our motivator. That's our motivator, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. He is our motivator. Christ in our life. The reason I know that you can live godly and I can live godly by the grace of God is because of Christ. Because He liveth in you. He liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. And for me to live is Christ. And then He went on and said, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, notice, from all iniquity, that's great, and then He said, and purify us unto Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And He went on and said, now listen, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. He said, preach it. So I'm so thankful for many of these things that we have in the Word of God. As a born-again believer, I can lead my family. As a born-again believer, I can follow my husband. People say, I can't follow my husband. No, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. I've come to notice this, and there's some churches, our church is not real bad about these things, but I'll have to clarify this. I don't want to pump y'all up on something that you're guilty of. But anyway, what I want to clarify is that some churches are so fanatical about a woman speaking out. And I know women don't keep silent in church. We believe that. We practice that. But usually the ones that are fanatical about it are the ones that don't listen to nobody. I mean women. I'm talking about women. They don't listen to nobody. They don't. Nobody will tell them what to do. Yet they hang on that little scripture. I know where that's happening right now. Okay. And then I believe that by the grace of God, I can obey my parents. There's scriptures for all of this. And what we need to realize is we never have a license for failure. If you're failing as a child of God, or if you're not meeting up with these things, don't blame the Lord. Blame yourself. Sin lies at your door. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 8. I have scripture for all these that I talked about here earlier. If you want the scriptures on them, I'll give them to you after service. But look in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. I'm on them. Right on. He said, look at this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Failure ain't with God. Bible don't give us no license for failure. And I believe the reason for it is Ephesians 3:20 says, the power that worketh in us. There's a power working within us as born-again believers that the unsaved world does not have and does not know. And basically it is the Spirit of God that worketh in us and giveth us the ability and the power to do all things. And we know that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He enables us not only to know the all things, but to do the all things. You know what it said? See, I told you that earlier, but now that's the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 said, well, I know, but I can't do it. Well, you've got it all messed up. Because He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that's everything that the Holy Spirit leads you to. So really, what it all boils down to is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And my, how we need to remember that. Every day of our life, the child of God is a continual remembrance. One thing about it, we get down, the Lord lifts us up. We get down, the Lord lifts us up. We get down, the Lord lifts us up. And what's happening? We're doing all things through Christ's strength.